I'm gonna ask all the exhibitors to come on up and have a seat. Let's get started again. Our next segment is going to be Marilyn going through, well, what you had for lunch. See who's been naughty and who's been nice. Marilyn is a registered dietitian in private practice, and she's been working with Cindy and I. And I'll let her introduce herself a little more, but I'd just like to say she's the author of a wonderful book called 5 Minutes to Health. And I have been getting some really good compliments on this book because it's very simple and very easy. So without further ado, and I never understood what that means and why I can't have more, here's Marilyn.
Thank you. I got to start off by saying I was really inspired by Cindy's talk this morning when she said getting to know yourself, and I just thought I'd start off with getting to know me, getting to know all about me. So now that we're getting to know all about ourselves, when I was 17 years old, I was very, very severely ill in hospital at 68 pounds with anorexia nervosa. And at the age of 20, I was very severely emotionally ill, and I was 250 pounds. I had gone the whole gamut, 68 pounds. I went from normal weight to start off, down to 68 pounds and up to 250 pounds. It's all documented up in Canada where it happened. I was so depressed, I wanted to die. Can anybody relate to this at all? Or know anybody who could? I really felt hopeless. And then my wish came true, almost, in 1985. I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I had, first of all, melanoma. I was out of hospital for a week after the surgery. It looked like it was no big deal. Melanoma is very much like that iceberg. You know, the tip of the iceberg is what you see. I was very lucky that there wasn't a whole lot of iceberg underneath that tip that they had to worry about at that time. But a week after I got out, I was rushed back into hospital with uterine cancer. Does anybody know anybody with uterine cancer here? It's an older woman's disease, normally. I was 35. How did I feel? I felt pretty darn hopeless. But I did go into remission 3 times, and I had a repeat performance with melanoma. I'm very lucky I don't have scars all over me. I have a few scars that are not too obvious to see, but the scars were inside more than anything. But the key was that at the age of 38, in 1988, I was told that I had a week to live. Now, by 1989, I was in a wheelchair, and I really did not believe that I was going to be here today. Why am I telling you this? Because it was a transformation in my life. I was a registered dietitian. You'd think I'd be healthy. And basically, I appeared to be healthy on the surface. But there was a lot of underlying stuff that was going on. I was hurting very badly. It was obvious by the food thing, you know, going from normal weight to 68 and then to 250. And although I balanced it for 20 years, I balanced my weight with anorexia nervosa and or bulimia. You know, that's the eating disorders, and I won't go into those today. But I'm telling you that because just at the moment that I stopped being anorexic and bulimic and I actually discovered some of the principles that were causing me to be that way, some of the things I had not dealt with, that was when I was diagnosed with cancer. And I thought, what the heck is the use? I had to tone myself there. I had more powerful stuff coming out, but it's back there. Anyway, the long and short of it is that now, 1997, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm healthy. The doctors are actually surprised. Thank you. So what I'm going to do is to talk to you about why I'm alive, what I did to be alive, and what my clients do to be alive. And part of what I talk about when I'm going into this is the whole concept of getting back to the basics. Now, what I want to do at this moment is ask one of my clients, who became one of my friends through the years that I've known her, Nancy, just to stand up and tell you what happened for her when she experienced our sessions together a few years ago. Thanks, Nancy. Nancy, just tell us briefly and in your own words what transpired for you after our first visit and then after, you know, the future consultations from the standpoint of health. Nancy had brain tumors, brain cancer. One brain tumor.
That I think Marilyn really helped.
Oh, good.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Marilyn's really helped my life. And
what did it do for you from the standpoint of your health, getting back to the basics?
It improved it.
In what, and how much would you say it improved it? Like, what were the changes?
100%. I'm still alive and healthy.
Yeah, she's healthy, believe me. This woman's healthy. Thank you, Nancy. Nancy's kind of shy. But she really has come a long way, and it's not just Nancy, right? Cancer or any illness, degenerative illness, and that's like cancer, AIDS, heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, etc. Those are all degenerative illnesses, which are the prominent illnesses in our cultures today. And any of those can be improved by changing your diet as well as the other aspects of your life. I mean, you're not going to change your diet forever or in a healthy manner constantly or consistently unless you have a healthy attitude about yourself and about life. So it's not just about food. Believe me, there are no magic bullets. But I'm here to talk about predominantly right now food. So I am going to focus on that. The big thing that happens for people, and people say it all the time, is I have more energy. I have other people in the audience here too who've also taken on this pattern, and maybe they'll speak later about it. But the key thing is to know that you can change your life. At this stage in my life, I have a tremendous amount of energy, and a lot of my friends marvel at how little sleep I need to really get on with it and get things done. What is part of the process is my passion for life. It's my passion for my work. Where does that come from? It comes from boundless energy. It's like a vicious circle, right? Well, the key thing, you saw the iceberg, and back on the table at the back, most of you saw this pyramid, right? Did you pick it up? Well, I hope so. It was free. You didn't even have to pay for this one. So this is a really good idea for you to see what we're working on. Now, I want to tell you a little story, though. I decided when I wrote my book, 5 Minutes to Health, I was not going to do all the groundwork that, you know, somebody else had done. And there had been a pyramid created by the government. And I thought, well, I'll just take that pyramid and I'll just white out some of the foods that aren't appropriate. Some of you have heard me say this before. Well, I did. I whited out the foods that were not appropriate for my clients or me to eat. How many foods do you think I had left on this full pyramid of foods? Well, that was close. There were 3. Now, what I ended up doing, of course, was rewriting. My typist at the time said, Marilyn, I don't think this chart's going to go very far with 3 foods on it, so I think we better do something about it. So we created a chart. Now, do you see 3 foods there, or do you see more? There's a lot more foods there. This is, people constantly say to me, well, if I eat healthy, what do I eat? I mean, what's out there? So I figured, well, I'll show you. There's a lot of foods on that chart. So you do not have to be without foods that are fun, healthy, and easy to eat. Why did I call the book 5 Minutes to Health? Because if it can't be done in 5 minutes, it ain't going to be done by this woman. I can tell you that. And that's, anybody relate to me when I say yes? Exactly. At the time that I was going through my cancer, and even before that, I'm a workaholic. Fortunately, now I work at what I love, so it doesn't impact my health negatively, I don't think. It seems to impact it positively. But in those years gone by, I was working at work I hated. I was an administrative dietitian, and I was not meeting with people, and I certainly didn't get a chance to talk to people about health and nutrition. I got a chance to tell them, you know, how to make mushy food in a blender for people that couldn't eat much, and you know that tasteless stuff that you get in the hospital? Yeah, something like that. Well, what happened with all of that for me was that I woke up and realized that that wasn't going to work for me. And I was raising two kids, working full-time. I was a single mother. Anybody, any women in the audience relate? No, not many, but some. Yeah, it was a tough call being a single mom, working full-time. And I was also going to school full-time because I wanted to better myself. You know, I wanted to have a degree and something that I believed in. Well, I got it in nutrition, but I have to tell you, when I got cancer, do you think I wanted to stay in nutrition? Mm-mm. It wasn't until I came down to California and everybody was into health, and I went, it seems like this is really the field that I should be in, but how do, you know, what do I do with it? There's so many people doing it. And at that time, I was offered a job as director of nutrition for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And I worked out of Brea, but I traveled all over. And that is when I discovered that the average American eats what? Junk. Good word. Now, I probably get thrown out of my ear for saying something like that, but the truth is the average American eats way too much fat and simple carbohydrates. French fries. You know, there's a joke in the nutrition profession that the two most common vegetables eaten in America are potatoes and tomatoes as ketchup and French fries. And you know what? It's almost true. But I'm going to tell you a little story about those ketchups you get at McDonald's, those French fries you get at McDonald's. Does anybody know what they are? Yeah, well, they're about the same as styrofoam. That's right. I'm going to tell you what they are because food science was actually my initial direction in my degree. I copped out and went into biochemistry and human nutrition because I couldn't stand what I was seeing. They would take mashed potato mix, you know that powder? This is how your French fries are made, by the way. Mashed potato mix, reconstituted, put through an extruder in the form of French fries, and you know, cut so that they're little strips. And that's what you're getting when you go to McDonald's, Burger King, and all those places, unless it says real French fries, because they can't call them real unless they are. But the average ones are not. Those little skinny things are generally not real French fries. So is that a real food? This is a paper food. I mean, it's about the same nutrition as the paper that it comes packaged in. The same as cornflakes. You know, what do you want? You want something that's processed to death, or you want to go back to the basics? And that is the premise of what I teach, because when I got when I was diagnosed with cancer, now it's a process. I mean, it takes years to develop. When I was diagnosed, my diet was vegan, vegetarian, macrobiotic. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, I was eating no fish, meat, dairy at all. None. I would eat soy products that looked like meat sometimes, and I would eat soy cheeses, which were pretty awful back in those days. They're a lot better now than they used to be. But at that time, that's what I was eating. And for 14 years, I was a vegan vegetarian. Now, I'm not saying that vegetarianism isn't healthy, but I'm saying that the way I was eating macrobiotic, all-cooked food was. All the food I ate, pardon me, was cooked food. What did I discover in my travels? Well, see, when I got sick, the one good thing about this, by the way, was that I got to travel around the world. I had money saved. I was making lots of money. So I traveled around the world looking for cures. That's what you do, right? You look for the cures, those magic bullets that will save your life. But you know what? They didn't work. They worked temporarily, but they didn't work consistently. What worked was getting back to food in its whole state. What was the shifting moment? Some of you have heard this story, and I do write about it briefly, but when I was at the bottom of the barrel, I had two friends who knew. You know, I'm a dietitian. You do not tell people you're supposedly dying of cancer when you're a dietitian. Would I have anybody even taking any interest in what I have to say? No. Well, by the time you get to the wheelchair, does it matter? Everybody's figured out that there's something really seriously wrong here. So friends dragged me off to a home show. Now you have to remember, I was only 39, and I still had an eye for the guys. I'd been single a long time too, raising two kids. So we go to the home show, and the first person in front of my eyes is a guy with a Vitamix machine. And he says, "Eat this food." And I'm going, "I can't eat. It just comes back up." Anybody watch somebody who can't eat? You get to the point where food just doesn't stay down. So what we do is we feed them ice chips. So he said, okay, fine. So he brought over cantaloupe and ice as cantaloupe ice cream, which he made in the Vitamix. And lo and behold, guess what? I could get it down. I could suck on it and get it down, and I got beta carotene and vitamin C, fresh, that minute. It was made that minute. That was one of the things he did. And then he did a soup, which tasted great. It took me about 3 months to figure out how to make it taste that good on my own. But now I've got it down pat. I eat this soup all the time, or different kinds of this soup all the time, and it tastes great. But it took a lot of time and a lot of practice to get to that point where I could actually make soup that tasted as good as he did. But the truth was, if that was the beginning, because he was cute, I paid attention. Maybe that was a good thing. And I went home with the Vitamix machine, and it was a funny story because they said to me, you know, Marilyn, or he said to me, you know, Marilyn, if in a year from now you're still around, send me a check for $800. Now, you're lucky in America there are only 400. I got to preface it with that. There are only 400, but, you know, the duty across the border. But what he also did was he said, if you're not here in a year, I guess it's my loss. Well, guess what? I was here in a year. And with a lot of help from physiotherapists and a lot of other people, and not much help from doctors, but not to say doctors aren't good, but the doctors I was working with did not believe in alternative at all. It was like surgery and chemo, and that was it. And I wasn't about to do any more chemo after 3 rounds of it. Anyway, the long and short of that whole thing was that the Vitamix did make a difference, but it wasn't the Vitamix, it was the concept of what?
Whole foods.
In a form that this body at that time could take. Do you have to put stuff in a Vitamix? No. If you want variety, it's a fun way to get it. But do you have to? No. What do? You eat whole foods. Exactly. What is a whole food? Right? What does it look like? Natural state. It's the apple off the tree. Now, some people say to me, oh, but juicing is, you know, I drink juice all the time. Well, for a cancer person or a diabetic, that is not a good idea. Why? It's loaded with sugar. Does it have the fiber that is necessary? No. We need more fiber in our diets. American diets lack vegetables and fruits. We eat one or two servings a day at most. And what is the recommended amount of servings for fruits and vegetables? 4 to 5. And what should you really be eating to be healthy? 8 to 10. Right. God, we got some smart people in the audience here today. You've heard me speak before.
No, we have a Vitamix.
You have a Vitamix. There you go. Yes. It's a great machine, eh? Yeah, the soup part's the hard part. Yeah. It's great for shakes, though. Real easy. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that when you get back to the whole food, it does not look like juice unless it's out of a Vitamix machine where it looks like sludge. You have to add some liquid to it to thin it down. Now, why do I say this? Well, I'm not saying you should never have juice. If you're outside and you're looking for a healthy meal, and there's a juice bar where they use fresh vegetables and fruits, and there's a chocolate store next door. I happen to love chocolate, by the way. But you go for the juice. You go for the healthier choice. Or if it's a hamburger joint, you go for the juice. You can get the protein juices, protein shakes, etc. Those are a much healthier choice. Now, I'm going to give you an example to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Dr. Patrick Quillen, who wrote a book that I have over there as well, Beating Cancer with Nutrition, was the person I worked with at the cancer treatment centers. He and I are both biochemistry graduates. So we worked on the difference between juice, because he didn't believe me. He said, well, I don't get it. You know, like, I mean, juice is healthy. And I said, no, it's not. I'm sorry, but in my books, juice was killing me. I was not coming alive with juice. I was dying because I wasn't getting all of the things that the Creator put into that food. So we took the apple. I'm going to use the apple because it's one of the least nutritious of the foods out there. Okay? It's not that it's not nutritious. It's one of the lesser of the foods that we would, like broccoli or something, would be loaded even more. But we'll take an apple. Now, there were 4.5 pages of nutritional components in that apple in its whole state when we analyzed it. Okay? Now we juiced it. How many pages do you think were in that juice?
Half a page.
You're right on. It was a third of a page. It was between a third and a half. So you think you're getting lots in your juice? Don't be fooled by people who don't know biochemistry writing books about what's in juice. You are getting a few elements, but you are not getting the whole food. It would be like taking the lungs out of your body and expecting your body to live, right? Now, do we chop pieces out of our body? Well, unfortunately, in this day and age, we do. But we have to keep putting pieces in that we hope will work. And do they work? Not for long. You know, we were created as a whole. You start taking pieces out, it becomes less efficient, right? It's the same thing with food. It's like, how many of you go out and eat a baked potato in a restaurant or at home? And how many of you eat the whole potato, skin and all? Wow, give yourselves a hand. This is fantastic. Yes, yes. Because I'll tell you, it's appalling to me. I'm very judgmental about food. My friends don't like to eat with me too often if I watch them throwing away potato peel. I say to them, if you're not going to eat that, can I? I don't care about the germs. I just want that fiber, you know, and all the nutrition that goes with it. And then people say, why? Is this good? Yeah. You know what's underneath that skin? All the goodness of the potato is underneath that skin. All the minerals and all the phytochemicals. Phytochemicals are plant chemicals that are in that food. You got to get those things if you want to be healthy. What makes the difference between a person who's healthy and a person who isn't? The person who eats consistently food that's overprocessed with all the minerals and all the phytochemicals and vitamins removed or broken down. So somebody's going to have to tell me the time I'm blind for that distance. Oh, thank you. But truthfully, when I'm talking about this, and now, of course, everything I'm telling you is the truth from my perspective, you don't have to believe a word of it, but this is, and from the scientific standards that I go with, it's really key. There's a really good nutrition, two really good nutrition newsletters that I would recommend to you, and one of them is the Nutrition Action Newsletter. Nutrition Action Newsletter out of Washington, D.C. And if you don't know how to get it, give me a call. All my cards and information are over there. Grab it, call me, I'll tell you. And the other one is the Tufts New England newsletter. Now, they're a little bit more conservative, but they do have a lot of really good articles, and they really hit on core issues. And one of the things, just to go with what was going on this morning here, was they had an article, I think it was a month or two ago, on meditation. And they said that meditation is better than food for relaxation or something like that, or better than sleep. Anyway, they were getting at the point that meditation is a key component. So, you know, when I'm talking here, just know that that's one of the things I really believe. I believe that food is wonderful and we also have to have all the other components. Just wanted to let you know that. Tufts New England Newsletter, which is a nutrition newsletter, also brought in the aspect of this meditation and so on. It talks about a lot of those kinds of things, so it's one of the ones I recommend. Now, I was going to talk about soy products for a while because I think that, well, we've got Maury New back there, but I'm going to talk about legumes first. People say to me, well, if I cut down my meat, because a lot of the people who come to see me are meat and potatoes eaters, right? And gravy? Maybe not so much in California, but believe me, most of my clients from outside of California are meat and potatoes eaters with lots of gravy. And maybe from the Southwest, there's lots of corn grits and gravy there. But whatever, you know. It's real high fat, saturated fat, and overcooked food. So when I say to them, you can't have any of this food, and you got to eat this other way with legumes and soy products. Legumes are beans, peas, lentils, that type of thing, you know. People will look at me and go, I want my beef. Sorry. So I have to work very gently with people, except in California. They'll go for anything, which is great, because that's why we're healthier overall in California. But the truth of the matter is, with respect to that food, it's a good idea to start looking at incorporating more legumes, because you can't just cut meat out of your diet if you've been a meat eater and expect to stay healthy. So one of the things that I incorporated for me when I was going through trying to incorporate wholesome food into my regime again was to incorporate tofu. Anybody here love plain tofu?
Fresh,
yes. Maury knew I love because it tastes fresh all the time. But, you know, you're right. If it's fresh, it can be good. But after a day or two, it's awful. And it does have bacterial buildup if you don't change the water. However, what I did was I learned how to use tofu without pressing out all the liquid. And why did I not want to press out all the liquid? What does tofu or soybeans in general have in them that are protectors? Anybody know? Right on, exactly. It's what they contain are isoflavones. And the isoflavones include...
Oh, yeah, those.
Those, yes. Yes. Those. We got some comedians in the audience here. So those happen to include genistein. So now when you go out of this room, you will remember these words. Genistein, everybody? Genistein and daidzein. Daidzein, yes. Those are the two primary phytochemicals that are found in soybeans that protect against heart disease and cancer. So that's a key thing to remember. There's two. Now, they also have phytoestrogens, which are very protective for women. And I'm not sure if I'll have time to go into all of that right now, but they are very protective for men and women, actually. Men from prostate cancer and women from the female cancers. But the truth of... I keep saying the truth of the matter, don't I? The truth of the matter is that the genistein and daidzein are real protectors, and they have been found in all the research in the Asian countries to be very beneficial. And now we are discovering it. You see it every day in the news. There's something about tofu or soy products, right? The reason is because they're very high. And a lot of people say, yeah, but I have a sensitivity to them or an intolerance or an allergy. The truth with that whole project or situation is that a lot of people just haven't eaten legumes. How many of you eat legumes every day? Not many of you overall. And there's more of you per capita in this room who probably do, because you wouldn't be in a workshop like this if you weren't somewhat on a path of learning. But the average American does not eat legumes except for baked beans. And then they have gas for 3 weeks afterwards and they never eat them again for a long time. But if you were to start eating them on a regular basis, your body, use it or lose it, I mean, we talk about it with sex, it's the same thing with your enzymes in your body. If you don't use them, you won't have them. So you got to use them. You got to get the body more efficient in producing them so that you have them. Now, does this mean you don't have to eat foods with enzymes like raw food? No, you got to eat those raw foods with enzymes. The enzymes in the food have their purpose, and the enzymes that your body produces have another purpose. You got to have them all. But you don't produce them unless you have healthy food going in so that your body can produce those enzymes. The enzymes are produced for the breakdown of all the pieces of food that you take in, the carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. And if you're not getting enough enzymes in your food as well as enough enzymes produced by your body, you won't utilize the food efficiently. So people get flatulence or gas, and you burp and whatever, you know the symptoms. So the key thing there is to make sure that if you are having a problem, there are some things that you can do to alleviate that. I have a whole section in my book on indigestion and how to alleviate it. But some key tips here are, one, you can chew on some ginger or fennel seeds, and that will help. Another thing you can do is take some Beano 10 to 15 minutes before you eat. Beano is a very natural, good product to use. And at Trader Joe's, we are so blessed in California, for $2, $1.99, plus tax, to be specific, they have a product called pineapple and papaya enzymes. And you suck on those. Now, enzymes must be taken before a meal, 10 to 15 minutes before, not with a meal. Vitamins are taken with a meal if you're going to take supplements. So you want to take your enzymes before, and that will assist you in digesting the legumes until your body becomes accustomed to digesting them yourself. Now, why did I turn to tofu? Because tofu is an easier product for the body to digest. It's already semi-broken down. But when you squeeze the liquid out, to go back to what I said earlier, you squeeze the liquid out, what are you squeezing out when you squeeze out the liquid? Genistein and daidzein. Good. Very good. So that's why you don't want to do that. You are throwing away the very key components that you need to stay healthy. Okay? So all legumes have a certain amount of phytochemicals, but not all of them have the phytoestrogens or the daidzein and genistein, at least not to the same level that soy products do. Do I mean all soy products? No. I do not mean soy oil and soy sauce. The two most commonly eaten soy products we have. So, I do not mean those, no. I am talking about soy milk, tofu. What else is there? Soy powders. They're not as high, but they're good. They're good substitutes. That type of thing is what I'm talking about. Tempeh. Anybody here experiment with tempeh? Yeah, it's. I got to tell you, you probably want to do with tempeh what I do with tofu. I marinate it. That's how I get it fresh. Now, why do I say that? Well, I've done a lot of workshops over the last couple of months, 30 a month, so to speak, and I provide these foods, and people always go, if they have the tempeh just as it is, they go, yuck. And we're not used to it. Tempeh is a firmer form of, like tofu, it's almost like a cheese consistency. It is a cheese consistency, very firm, and it often will have either different things included in it, such as herbs. In one, there might be barley and different kinds of grains in another one, and there may be a variety of different things in another one, vegetables in another one. So there's different ones that you can get. But I like them now. I'm used to them. But it does take some getting used to if you're not used to them. I mean, we're used to cheddar cheese and things like that. So it's a real shift to get to used to those other things. Why do people have such a problem with dairy products in our society now? Anybody know? Lactose intolerance, but that's a good point. Now, why do we have so much lactose intolerance? Other than, I will say, there are certain ethnic groups that will have a problem with lactose because it wasn't part of their diet. Asians and African Americans, generally speaking, will have a problem with lactose intolerance. But everybody's starting to have a problem. I can't drink milk over, I'm over 40-something. You know, closer to 50 there. But we won't talk about that today. But I cannot tolerate lactose in milk very much. And part of the reason is, why? That's right. We no longer produce the enzyme, and even if we could take it in and use it, we can't use it because it's cooked. It is not raw. Most of our milk is pasteurized, which means it has been cooked to an extremely high temperature 3 times. Now, am I saying you should go out and drink raw milk? Well, not unless it's certified raw. But yes, I am saying that. If you can find certified raw milk. Altadena for a while was doing it, and it was good, and their yogurt, they claim, is from uncooked milk. I mean, milk is always heated to make yogurt, but theirs is the only natural one. Yes?
What about rice milk?
Rice milk is okay, but rice milk is very high in sugar, and it does not have the genistein, the daidzein, and all the nutritional components. Calcium, it's not as high in calcium. Has some, but not a lot. Yes?
Well,
the calcium, no.
Calcium,
not enough.
It's enriched,
but you know, again, if it's enriched, it's a processed product. You're better off to take calcium supplements with vitamin D along with it. Or try, if you've had a problem with soy products, try what I suggested as far as some enzymes first to see if that helps you. A lot of times if people are intolerant to it, it's just because your body has not been producing the enzyme to utilize it. It's worth experimenting with. Yeah, see, I'm against that kind of thing. You're just taking the same food and changing a form. But the body is already telling you, I do not want this product. And you're forcing foods into your body. We force foods into our body that our body says it doesn't want. You know, there is a definite lactose intolerance in certain people, and you're forcing something in that shouldn't be going in. You're better off to look for other alternatives. Rice dream is not the worst thing in the world. Don't get me wrong. It's a very good product. But I'm just trying to give you a bird's eye view in an hour of the foods that are the top of the line here. But you can also get a good level of calcium from broccoli, kale, bok choy, a lot of the vegetables, Brussels sprouts. So get familiar with the vegetables that will also boost your calcium level. Okay? That calcium is not just in foods. It is in all legumes. Calcium is in all legumes. Beans, peas, lentils, split peas, black-eyed peas, kidney beans, you name them. They are loaded with calcium. Do most of us eat that kind of food? Not very often, not enough. Some people do. I do. But, you know, it's worth getting used to it. It's worth taking whatever enzymes you need to take to get used to it. Now, I want to say something on that because I'm talking about enzymes, and a lot of people will automatically think, well, she believes in taking all kinds of supplements. I don't. If you have cancer and you come to me, is that 10 minutes? 15. Sorry. Blind. Yeah, I do, actually, I do. My eyes are much better than they used to be, too. But it's just that writing is, like, back there. I can see your faces. That's all that matters. Your smiling faces out there. But I want to go back to the supplements here because this is really key. I believe that there's a time when people need a real supplement boost. And a couple of people here that I've worked with or who have attended my workshops before know that I really do push taking certain vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals if you are already predisposed, you're already ill. Because I really am convinced that that's what helped me get well. It wasn't just taking supplements, it was having a good diet and then an excellent diet and then adding to it supplements. But I have people who come into my practice who do what for breakfast? Nothing except coffee and supplements. And then they complain about stomach aches and pains and they wonder why they have these pains in their stomach. Because the food has nothing to carry it through the body. I mean, the supplements have nothing to carry it through the body. When I talk to kids in school, I talk to them about the cargo ship and the cargo. I mean, supplements are vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, bioflavonoids, etc. They are the microscopic nutrients, micronutrients. They have to have macronutrients, protein, carbohydrates, and fats, which are the cargo ship, to carry the cargo through the body to where it has to go to be utilized. You don't take it, it goes in one end and out the other. Boy, I tell you, that's expensive urine that you're sending down the toilet. Very expensive. It's much wiser. If you're going to not eat anything, don't take supplements at that time. Take supplements when you are eating something, and don't take them before you eat. Take them during and after the food, at the end of the meal. Not way at the end, like an hour later. You got to take them within half an hour of your meal, but you should try to take them with your meal so that they are going with the food. Now, what would I suggest? If you're a healthy, normal person living in this incredibly polluted society with this incredibly polluted earth, water, air, what else is there? Everything. Then what you want to do is you want to protect yourself with what we call antioxidants, which are the vitamin C's, and you want to get buffered vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium. The two go together. Selenium should be taken with vitamin E. Vitamin E should never be taken with vitamin C, and it goes on and on. In other words, you need to come and see me so we can sort it all out. So you're not mixing it all up. But a good multivitamin and mineral is a good start, and it should not be one of those one-a-days. Those are crap. You might as well throw them down the toilet now and be done with it and go out and get something good. You want a whole food supplement if possible, and you want it to be something that you take over the day, preferably three over a day. You know, it's broken down, so you're taking three. Because if you take it all at once, the body can't utilize it all at once. It needs it broken down throughout the day. Yes?
I have a question. Actually, we haven't been using the microphone, so I'm going to be the first one to use it. Started out. I had a question. You mentioned Trader Joe's earlier.
Yes.
And, God, there's so many supplements you can take, and there's a couple here today, I guess, you know, and it is kind of confusing. Would you recommend, like, is Trader Joe's actually a good place to buy
for
supplements?
Some of them.
For some of them. How about for, like, a multivitamin?
For the multivitamin and mineral, no. Look for a whole food company.
Okay.
You know, Trader Joe's is good, but remember, you get what you pay for. Some of their products are really good. The CoQ10 is as good as anywhere
else.
See,
that's what's confusing as a consumer, because if you can buy some of their stuff is good and it's at a reasonable price, well, then you would think, right, like, hey, they're, you know, you probably could buy other things there. So that's why it's so hard.
Well, that's
for us.
Why you need to. That's why you really need to consult with someone who has a background and knows what they're doing, because it really is important to get firsthand. Then once you know, you'll know where to go to get the things in the future. I mean, what I'm trying to do is put together a package for my clients so they know what to look for when they go out. But the truth of the matter is, you get what you pay for. And certain vitamins are better than others. There's a multi-level, I'm not into multi-level overall, but there are some really good multi-levels out there. So I do explore them. One of the ones is MXM that's really good. They have excellent products. I'm not saying they're the only one. They're the one that I know about. They're all whole food. It's liquid in a capsule, which is very easily absorbable. What you want to look for, here are the key things to look for. You want to look for capsules that are soft gel, and you want to look for no hard tablet pills. Those are not digested by the body. They're not assimilated. You might as well throw them down the toilet. You want to look for the soft gel, and if possible, a liquid or a powder in the soft gel. And it should come from a whole food base. Now, are they whole food? No, they're processed. They're processed like your other stuff is that you buy in the boxes and bottles and jars. But they are more whole than something that's just made like Centrum or what, something like that, that's a chemically defined product. Now, are supplements not chemicals? Of course they're chemicals. Everything in our world is chemicals. But there are natural chemicals that the body can assimilate, and there are the unnatural. Like if you eat the cyanide that's in the apple pit, you will never die from that, no matter how many apples you... Well, you might get a little sick from eating a lot of apples, but if you eat the pit, you will never die from the cyanide in that pit. It's a natural cyanide that the body breaks down, the liver breaks down. But what happens if you take cyanide poisoning that's created by chemicals and... It's like, okay, next world, next life, right? So there is a difference in the way the body utilizes them. It's very key to remember. So I'm not going to spend any more time on supplements. Yes.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Is there such a thing then as too much? For example, taking liquid colloidal type vitamins,
yes,
minerals, and then superfood stuff with the algae?
Yes, there is. There is. You need to really keep it toned down. Supplements are not going to do it for your body. What's going to do it for your body is a whole food diet with supplementation. So you keep your supplements to a minimum. I think that there is a lot of value to a lot of the green drinks and a lot of the green powders, but there are some, like Greens Plus, I think it is, that's out there at the health food store. You do not want to take that. They mix herbs and they mix minerals that don't match together at all. So they neutralize each other and you get absolutely no value. You've got to know what you're getting, and you get only what your body can utilize. Herbs should never be taken to excess. They are medical things. They need to be treated that way. It's not that they're damaging, but they're supposed to be, in cultures before us, they were used as medicine, as healing herbs. We use them for everything, and there are some that you can use all the time, parsley and so on, but the truth of the matter is you have to learn that your body will build up a tolerance to them, so if you're using them for healing, you're going to overuse them if you're taking them all the time. And if they're going to neutralize the effects of your minerals, what's the use? Right? You need to know what you're getting there. I'm not going to talk a lot about this kind of thing because I'm sure that some of this will be addressed in the homeopathy section. I want to talk about fats for a minute because I know I'm going to be running out of time, and I really want to emphasize this. This is a key thing to your health. You know, it's antioxidants rid your body of free radicals. Where do free radicals come from? Free radicals don't just come from fat, but that's a good answer. Free radicals are produced in the body from any kind of stress. They're produced from, free radicals are missing an electron, so they're always in search of an electron, and they steal it from healthy cell membranes, which weakens the cell, and then the cell can be infiltrated by disease or illness, such as cancer or other illnesses, arthritis, diabetes, so on. So the key thing here is you want to keep your cells healthy. So that's why we take antioxidants or foods that are high in the beta carotene, vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, D, E, K, etc. B vitamins are also very good because they assist the body in producing energy. B vitamins are essential for every metabolic function in the body along with enzymes. So you need all those components. Now, you got these free radicals produced from stress. It can be the wrong food that you're eating, food that's deficient. It can be stress in your work life. It can be a love affair gone bad, and you're not eating properly, or you're crying a lot, or you're under stress. It doesn't matter. Everything produces free radicals. Are free radicals bad? Yes and no. Free radicals are a fact of life. There is no way to avoid them. Okay? So what you have to do is counteract or counterbalance. So that's why you take in foods that are high in antioxidants. Some foods that are high in antioxidants would be like the beta-carotene-based vegetables or vitamin C beta-carotene, broccoli, cauliflower, the cruciferous vegetables, and fruits like that are loaded with vitamin C. Now, fats. What is wrong with fats? The trouble with fat is this. Hydrogenated fats are not assimilated by the body appropriately. Now, we've heard that margarine is a real cure-all for heart disease, right? Well, that's right. It's wrong. It's very wrong, because look at what's happening. What is the number one killer in America? Heart disease. What was the number one killer of heart disease before margarine became so prevalent? I mean, the number one killer of people before heart disease. I'm sorry. I misworded it. I'm trying to get it all in 2 minutes here. The number one killer is still heart disease. And by the way, women, 2 years after menopause, the fastest growing rate of heart disease is you, if you're 2 years past menopause. So just be aware of that. And so on that note, I'm going to leave you with a couple of things. I'm into fortune cookies. I don't eat the cookies, but I love what they have to say. And so Goth says, and you've all heard that, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, always a chance to draw back. You know that commitment one? That's in my book. But things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. There is nothing, nothing on the face of this earth more important than health. I can tell you that from experience.